All right. Merry Christmas. It's good. It's good. All right. We're going to look at Psalm 2, and maybe there'll be a couple other customers arriving. But we're going to go ahead and start. A question: why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. So that's parallel, that's called Hebrew parallelism. It's the same question, just said differently, but it's the same question. Why did the heathen rage, and why do the people who are heathen imagine a vain thing? The reason they rage is because they're imagining something vain. So why do they rage? Why do they imagine a vain thing? Why would they rage? Well, what would they rage for? Why would they imagine something vain that wasn't true, that wasn't in fact? So, hi, Barb. Yahoo! Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage, and why do the people imagine a vain thing? So, that's still going on to this day. People are still raging. And they're still imagining vain things. Oh, for example, here's something vain. Here's something that people imagine that isn't true, that they're God. Or that there is no God. Or that there might be a God, but they're not subject to him in every way. Those are all vain things. Those are all just imaginations of the human heart. Why would someone imagine that they could oppress the people? Why would someone imagine that that something dark could be done, that something confusing could be put in place and then kept that way? No, it's not possible. God has already spoken from the foundation of the world, and he already has a people. Now, I'm going to put some numbers up on the board. Extending my remarks from this morning, but expanding upon them in a different direction or in a further direction, so that you see something here which is very interesting. Why is Bethlehem equal to or greater than Rome? So that's a very interesting question. Because the people who are these Gentiles imagining vain things are I'm gonna call this one B. I'm gonna call this one B, and I'm gonna call this one C, where they're having a big cantata, and I'm gonna have this one be called A. So let's imagine then that C, the people who are ruled, are inferior to B, the governor. In other words, the ruled are under the ruler. But that's not really a problem. That would be vain of B to imagine that B was A. That would be vain for B. In fact, that would be vain for C, the people, to imagine a vain thing too, that B was greater than A. The greater always serves, I'm sorry, the greater always serves the greater yet, if I could put it that way. And God is the Most High. Therefore, whatever God wants, whatever God pleases, always overrules B in favor of C. Now that is very interesting. That's called a trust. That B, because of A, will always be the trustee for C and not the oppressor. So let's imagine that they imagined a vain thing, that B could replace A and oppress C, that the rulers of this world were actually able to be tyrants and despots over C and cheat them, rob them, destroy them, harm them, injure them, trespass upon them. Let's imagine that. Well, it's just an imagination. Because even though it appeareth to be that that is the history of mankind, indeed, in fact, God, A, always overrules B in favor of C. So that when God has a family, the only question then remains, are you part of his family? So, if you're part of his family, you have nothing to worry about. Joy to the world, the Lord has come, let earth receive her king. So, let us imagine then that Bethlehem were the ruled, and Quirinius was governor of Syria, and Caesar Augustus was governor over Quirinius. And therefore, Joseph and Mary were under Quirinius, who was under Caesar. But remember, Caesar's under God. Therefore, whatever God wills prevails at all times and in all places. Could I hear a hallelujah on that? So God always does what he wishes. God always does what he wishes. That's okay, I'll go over it 1,000 times till you get this. This is so powerful. I always get excited about my messages. I always think they're wonderful. And of course they are. They really are. And the reason that they are is because I borrow them. I borrow them right out of the Bible. I get them out of the Bible. I don't know if any of you are reading your Bibles, but you can get these same ideas like I get. It's amazing. It's kind of like cheating, I guess, because you could know what I was going to preach before I even started preaching. You know why? It's all in the Bible. The Bible has all these answers. For example, here's one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Ah, see now, B, which could be a king or a emperor or a government, couldn't actually be A, because thou shalt have no other gods before me. So A said that, therefore B could never be A. And therefore, why do the peoples imagine a vain thing? And why do the kings of the earth conspire together against the Lord and, that's A, his anointed? So if B, the governors, the rulers of this earth, should think to themselves for even a moment that they could tyrannize and despotize Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. Oh, not possible. Bethlehem is always safe. Bethlehem was always the center of God's program. Did you see that? Little Bethlehem, an insignificant corner of the Roman Empire. So vulnerable. Didn't even have a wall around it. There was no protection whatsoever. All that was there once was a royal city, but now it had become just simply a 7 mile away from Jerusalem, sheep taking care of place. It was called the House of Bread. Bet, bait, that means house, lechem, of bread, the house of bread, the house of nourishment, the house of being nourished and taken care of by God. So it's a little 7 mile away way station. I live about 15 miles from here, so it would only be halfway, not very far at all. You could walk it in a couple of hours. Within a couple of hours at 4 miles per hour, you could easily walk that. That's as far away as it is. But if you rode a donkey, you could get there even quicker, probably in an hour, maybe even 45 minutes, because it's only 7 miles over hill, over dale, but nevertheless, you get there quite quickly. And if you had a car, why, you could be there in no time at all. So, you see, there is no time and space for God. God always does everything in the right time and in the right place. Bethlehem was his spiritual center. That was where the king would be born. But nobody noticed. Caesar B wasn't even noticing. And his governor B 1 or B2, Quirinius, who was governor of Syria in that place, didn't even, I doubt he even knew where Bethlehem was. But maybe he did. Perhaps he did. If he did, he would know that it was a run-down place of no significance at all. And so a decree went out, and it affected Bethlehem, and yet Bethlehem was of no significance. And so everybody in Bethlehem had to obey as well as everybody in the whole kingdom. So you see, Caesar knew how to project his majesty. He knew how to reach the furthest, most obscure corners of his universe. He knew that he had jurisdiction over Bethlehem. Do you see, we are actually subjects of this world. Are you aware of that? You have a dual citizenship. You owe allegiance to God, and you owe allegiance to Caesar. Render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and render unto God what belongs to God. Dual citizenship. You're in this world, however, you're not of this world. However, if you really think about it, there's only one God, and therefore Caesar is under God. And since Caesar's under God, even though Caesar makes a decree, a dogma, even so, it's overruled by God. Or it has to submit to God's higher law. Now, God's higher law is always greater than man's lower law. So even though Caesar's over Mary and Joseph, God is over Caesar. Therefore, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Caesar can be a god all day long over Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph don't even have to worry about whatever Caesar will say or do, because God is over Caesar and over Mary and Joseph. And it's for that reason that God permitted Caesar to rule, even though he was a despot and a tyrant and had nothing in mind to help Mary and Joseph. Actually, he was going to use Mary and Joseph to help himself. He was going to tax them. He was going to take from them something that belonged to them that really should have been given to God or kept by themselves, because the money that they earned really belonged to themselves. But even so, governments have a right to take a little bit of money, but only a very little bit, just enough to do the job they need to do. And part of their job is not to oppress Mary and Joseph. No, as a matter of fact, their only job is to bless Mary and Joseph. But Caesar had no intention to bless Mary and Joseph. He didn't even know Mary and Joseph, nor did he care. You see, the government today is not really seeing itself as our servant. They're actually seeing ourselves as their servants, and they as our masters. Ah, but then the ruled would not consent to be ruled, because the governed must always have the consent of the governed. I'm sorry, the governor must always have the consent of the governee. There's no question about it. I just don't consent to that IRS taxing situation because it's not my favorite. There's nothing in nature and there's nothing in God that says there ought to be a income tax, nor should there be a poll tax, nor should there be a property tax. None of those taxes are biblical and none of them are natural. No, there's nothing in nature that says you should tax a tree or a house that you built. Of course not. Why should there be? Ah, but the rulers of the world, B, often figure out ways to collect more revenue. Isn't it interesting that the decree he sent out was a revenue collection? It's very interesting, taking a census merely to oppress the people further. Ah, kings learned that lesson early on, that if they were wise kings, they gave a light burden. But if they were wicked kings, they gave a heavy burden. I would say today that we have quite a heavy burden on us. When the income tax first started out, way back in the early, early days of the 20th century, because it wasn't in the 19th century, there wasn't any income tax at all. When it started out, it was only, you know, a small percent. At the most, maybe 1, or maybe 1.5, or possibly 2. Very small. Today, I would say it's more than 3, more than 4, more than 5, 6, 10, 20, 30. It's so high that it could be as high as 40 or 50, especially if you count the hidden taxes, the indirect taxes, all kinds of of taxes that are much more than tolls, much more than levies on foreign goods, which the Constitution does allow, by the way. So you see, today we are taxed unfairly, unjustly. But who's complaining? Because, as I said, no matter what Caesar is allowed or permitted by God to do, it really can't hurt us because we belong to God. C. C is directly under A. And even though B intrudes himself between A and C, don't forget this, that B is just then a trustee of A. And since B is a trustee of A, God knows how to discipline his own. So Caesar really isn't Caesar, he's really God's Caesar. I want you to understand this because it will help you never to worry. Why do the rulers of the world, why do the kings of the earth imagine a vain thing? And why do they conspire together against the Lord and his anointed? Ah, but how foolish. Because you can never be against the Lord and his anointed, because the Lord is always the Lord, and he's the most high God. And he's above all gods. He's a God above all gods. And thou shalt have no other gods before me, saith he. And because he is the highest God, and he truly is the highest God, no one made him the highest God, he just is the highest God. In fact, he's the only God. In fact, he's the one that made all the other gods. Caesar is a god, of course. But he's a god under a god. And therefore, he couldn't be a god over me. He could only be a god under me. That is, a god who's for me. Ah, because the god who's over me says that there'll be no other gods before me. Therefore, he must be a servant of mine. Oh, I see now that the Bible has a very different view of things, and therefore I pick up the Bible view for myself, that C is never in trouble. C is only in trouble if it isn't under A. If you'll seek first the kingdom of God, all other things will be added to you. So if B happens to be an oppressor, I would say it might be because you have sinned. Ah, not that you've sinned because you committed murder. Not because you've sinned because you committed adultery and broke the Ten Commandments. But maybe you've sinned because you did not believe that God was A, the Almighty, the Most High God. And maybe you began looking at B as your enemy rather than Satan, knowing that Satan can't overthrow God, knowing that God always wins and God always prevails and Christmas always comes and the gift is always given. Therefore, I could not owe a duty to Caesar. I only owe a duty to God. But I don't owe a duty to God because God already did my duty. He did it for me because I'm his beloved. And therefore, I don't owe a duty to God. God owes a duty to me. Ah! Even better yet. So God has a duty because he made a promise. Caesar made me a duty, but God, who made me a promise, always trumps those that made me a duty. So even though B tries to put a duty on C, the truth is that the promise of A trumps the duty of B. And therefore, I don't owe a duty to God or to Caesar. As a matter of fact, I don't have two gods. I don't have Caesar plus God. As a matter of fact, my dual citizenship is actually a single allegiance. If I obey God, he's the one that tells me to obey Caesar. And I render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but no more. I certainly wouldn't render to Caesar what belongs to God. Well, what does belong to God? Well, here's what belongs to God: worship. And therefore, I don't owe any worship, any rendering to Caesar. If I render something to Caesar, it would only be his own. And what is his own? Oh, that which is limited by God. And what is it that's limited by God? Well, whatever isn't God's belongs to Caesar. But what doesn't belong to God? Therefore, Caesar has very little. You know, maybe a coin here and there. But certainly not a property tax. Certainly not an income tax. Certainly not even a head tax, as Rome imposed upon Joseph and Mary. But you see, it didn't work because all he had to do is pay the few bucks and off they go. And besides, you know why they had to pay that tax? It was because they weren't ruling themselves. They weren't self-governing. Oh, that they had been. Oh, if they had only confessed their sins. But their sins were not the sins of murder and adultery. Their sins were the ones of idolatry because they did not make God the supreme God. And they did not listen to God, because had they listened to God, it would have been good news. He would have said, Your righteousness is by your faith, not by your works. I don't want any works from you. I don't want any duty from you. I gave you the Ten Commandments only so you'd realize you couldn't do what I wanted you to do. Therefore, I'd send my son so he could do what I wanted you to do, which really means I wanted him to do for you so that you didn't have to do for you. Therefore, you get no burden. You only get a blessing. Ah, there. If you'd believed that, you'd have been righteous with God. Take the blessing from God. Stop trying to serve him. Stop trying to please him. You have nothing to please. It's he that would please you. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Ah, look, give you is a gift. It's not at all a duty. It's your Father's good pleasure to make you do his business in the... No, he never said that. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, you see? So under God, there's actually a blessing and a promise. There is no duty and no work. Do you all understand this? It's so hard because the teaching today in the churches are wrong. And I'm not bragging or boasting. I'm not smart or anything. I just simply read the book. I notice in the book, it says that God doesn't want any work from me. As a matter of fact, he hates all my works. As a matter of fact, any work that I do, even the best work that I do, he calls it vanity. He says, all your righteousness is a filthy rag. Well, then why should I produce any righteousness of my own? He even criticizes the Jewish people for establishing their own righteousness. So therefore, I can see God doesn't want to work. What he wants is his own work. Naturally, it's his own law. But his own law and his own work belongs to Jesus, not to me. That little baby that was born under C, this is now C3, Mary, Joseph, and the little baby. He's C3, the littlest guy of all. That little bitty guy, he's the one that all the burden's on. I love that. Therefore, I don't have any burden because Jesus is actually the Son of the living God. He really is the Savior. He really is the Lord. Caesar claims to be Son of God. Caesar claims to be the Savior. Caesar claims to be the Lord. But in fact, he's just simply my servant. That's all. And Jesus, who is my Savior, and who is the Son of God, and who is my Lord, actually wants to serve me, save me. He saves me before he lords me. And when he lords me, it's so easy because he gives me the Holy Spirit. And therefore, I don't have to do a thing. Because everything that I do is done by the Holy Spirit, who's in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. Ah, how easy it is. Did you all see that? You can get the tape and listen to it a billion times. But for me, it's so simple. It's so simple like this. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So A is the only God I have. B is not one of my gods. B is just simply a servant of A, like I'm a servant of A. But God appointed him to take all the burden and give me all the blessing. So B should have given me a blessing, and he should have taken the burden because he's my trustee. But instead, he unjustly enriched himself and took from C, and that was appointed to me. But now the government wants to take from me. Ah, that's not fair. Why should the ruler take it? I think the ruler should prove that he's a ruler. Jesus said, you know, the rulers of this world love to lord it over you. But it shall not be so in my kingdom. In my kingdom, he who would be great, who truly would be great, would be a servant of all, a trustee, someone who took his rule and his power and his authority, his sword and his decrees and dogmas, and he'd always make them for the good of the people, lift the people's burdens away. That would be a good king. A king, then, is not at all an earthly type of king, like B has turned out to be. So B should be punished. I tell you, Jesus will come back someday and punish B for not being a good B, not a good trustee at all. A trustee is someone who increases the blessing and the benefit for me. It starts out with $1 million in the bank, and pretty soon it's $1 billion and then $1 trillion. That's a good trustee. But in our government's case, it starts out to be, you know, $1 billion, and pretty soon our dollars are worth nothing but 5 cents. Oh, that's not right. I can see that there's something wrong with our trustee system. I can see that government is merely a trust. It's a public trust for a private person. I'm the private person for which it's a public trust. And yet, I can see all things have gone astray. Well, the problem isn't with B. I have no argument with B. My problem is with A. A, look, discipline your servant. And A says to C, why? Because they're oppressing me. You remember you said B would serve C under thee, A? And he said, yes, if you're my servant. Are you truly my child? Are you one that has lifted a finger yourself? Are you, in fact, burdening others? Are you burdening yourself? Because if you belong to me, you're just enjoying blessings. Is that you? Because if you're truly just enjoying blessings of A, then you'd be full of worship and praise exactly what I want you to render. I never wanted you to give me a work. I only wanted you to give me praise. But you worried. I told you not to worry. Huh. Therefore, you're oppressed by B because you are yourself a burdener. And I made you a blessing. Why would a child at Christmas say, I don't know if I've done enough good to deserve this gift? That would be to misunderstand Christmas. Christmas is not like Santa Claus. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. That'd be a burden. I'd have to not cry and not pout. But no, Christmas is not like Santa Claus at all. Santa Claus would be a devil. I tell you, he's an absolute devil. Why? Because I don't care how kind he is. He'll only give it to me if I don't cry and I don't pout. He's coming to town and making a list, checking it twice. Huh. That's not Jesus. Jesus makes no list. And even if he did make a list, he'd do all the payment. And even if I was naughty and bad and didn't deserve anything, he'd give it to me anyway. Because it's a relationship and not a performance. Under B, he wants performance. But under A, he wants relationship. I tell you, if C is related to A, then C has no worries. Because all God has ever wanted is for my grandson to get everything. It's for my granddaughter to get everything. Therefore, I'm a good B, as I'm a good ruler. Why am I a good ruler? Because I know that A gives me everything. And therefore, I know that I have nothing to worry about. I don't need to take from my grandchildren to enrich my own life. I don't need to take from them. I need to give to them. Why? Because God gives me everything. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Therefore, C is never worried about B, because C is always under A, and A is always over B and over C. And therefore, since he's over, all I need to find out is what he's up to. Well, I find out that all he's up to is a relationship. All he's up to is promises. All he's up to is no burden at all. He gives the burden to B and never to C. So you see, C is in perfect shape. So joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Who is her king? He is the king that truly is a true B. Jesus grew up to be a B, but he started out as a C. And that's why Jesus humbled himself, took the form of a servant, and he himself became the burden bearer. He himself became the Christos, the Christ, the Messiah. Jesus became the true king, and that's why he's worthy to be praised. Caesar will be removed from his seat, but not now, because first he has to start with his own house. C has to be cleaned up first. Don't worry about B. Don't worry about all the oppression that the government has put upon you and the rulers have put upon you. You know that government is nothing more than a business community that controls the government anyway. Government is merely the political servants of the financial community. That's all. And it's only a few, they call them special interests. It's only the few special interests like Motorola. It's only the few special interests like General Electric. It's only those big monstrous corporations, which are artificial persons. They're not even real persons. But behind them are real persons, and those real persons manipulate those corporations so that they have no liability to me. But I'm one of the beneficiaries of GE. I'm a beneficiary of Motorola. I should be the beneficiary of everything that goes on in this place. Because after all, God loves me. Do you all understand how it works? So therefore, the commercial department should actually be subordinate to A, just as the political department should be subordinate to A, so that all my rulers should be subordinate to A, because they should be for me. And therefore, they are for me. If they should be, they are. How can I say that? Because I have faith in the living God. And that's why God chose Bethlehem and ignored Rome. Rome made a decree, but God used the decree for his own purposes. Rome had a secular purpose in mind. God had a spiritual purpose in mind. Because the spiritual center of God's work was in Bethlehem, an insignificant place, cast off into the far reaches of the Roman Empire. And yet God, right here in Fort Worth, Texas, could do a great thing. Isn't that amazing? How insignificant we are. But in God's sight, we might be part of a spiritual revolution that's going on. So you see how I think differently. I've copied this stuff down from the book. I see here in the book that maybe even though we're small like Bethlehem, how many know that this church is a small church? Barely shows up on the radar of churches. I don't even think it's listed in the phone book. If it is, you know, that'd be a surprise to me. But if it is in the book, you know, we try not to let anyone know that we're here. We try to, we've told our people, please don't ever witness to anybody and don't share this, because keep the secret here. Just keep it right here. We just like a small group of people that we can work with. After all, you get too many people, they're hard to work with. You can't really work with that many people, Barbara. But, you know, if I could just get you, oh, I'd be a blessing. If I could just get James, oh, that would be powerful. If I could just get it to Tommy, if I could get the message to Tommy, that's all I would care about. You see why? Because God doesn't look at families the way someone else does. He looks at each child as totally significant. Everybody in C is important to him. Why do the nations, why do they conspire? Why do they imagine a vain thing? Why are the peoples always worrying about things? Why are they always fearing? Do you know what? I've learned a new way. I've learned the Christmas way. I've learned the way of God, that everything's a free gift. There are no rewards for works done because I don't do any works. If there were a reward, it would go to Jesus, and if Jesus had it, he'd give it to me. So there you have it. And not only that, there is no reward with a gift. A gift is a gift. It's not a sale. It's not an exchange. A gift is not certainly a dogma or a duty. A gift is not a duty. Did you all learn that? That a gift is not a duty. Caesar gives me a duty. Pay up, render. Pay your tax. Pay your tithe. No, with God, everything is on my side. Everything that comes into this church, by the way, I don't take it. I don't get it. It's not mine. Every penny that comes into the church, every single penny. David might try to grab some, but I won't give it to him. And I might try to grab some, but David won't give it to me. You know why? Because it belongs to Jesus. Everything comes into the church goes to Jesus. And he might tell me to give it to Tom. You know, Tom, you know, he doesn't even work half the time. But, you know, I gave him $20 this morning and someone else gave him another something or other, probably 10 or 20 or something. That guy's richer than Midas today. You know, he can buy so many cigarettes and booze and who knows what all he can do and have a Merry Christmas for himself. He claims it's to go into that little place. Maybe it is. I hope it is. You know, you never know with Tom. He might become a believer. Tom, I've told him this morning, now, Tom, don't you come at the end of the service. Always come at the beginning of the service. He said he'd be here tonight. Of course, he isn't here. But then, you know, on the other hand, why should I put a burden upon Tom? You see? Because Tom is a C. And therefore, the whole point of A is to get a blessing to C through B. And if B won't cooperate, God will do it anyway. Don't you just love God? His ways are never thwarted. He cannot be gainsaid. Do y'all know that word, gainsaid? That means no one can say anything negative to or nugatory to whatever God has said. If God says he'll bless me, then he'll bless me. If God said, you know, blessed be Ham, then there's no way you can curse Ham. You remember when Ham got drunk in his tent after the flood? But God had already said something. Blessed be Ham. That's the end of the matter. It can never be cursed be Ham. And so when he woke up and saw what his younger son had done to him, God didn't curse him. He cursed the son, the firstborn son. That was his strength. And the only curse was this. The curse was not that you go to hell or something. The curse was just simply, well, you're not going to have, you know, you're not going to have an inheritance in the land. And so the Canaanites were not allowed. They're still alive. They didn't disappear. They just weren't allowed to have their own nation. It's just like the Palestinians today want to have their own nation, and America is bound and determined to give it to them. But you know what? America ought to read the Bible. Ought to realize there's no two-state solution to Israel. That's an American idea. That's a United Nations idea. That's a divide the land and thwart A. But you can't thwart A. I'll bet you God has a little surprise, a little secret, because he never likes to be thwarted, gainsaid, have someone else determine something else. I'll tell you, he's gonna have something for his people when he says, I love my people Israel. He loves his people Israel. Isn't that amazing? And so whatever God decides, that's the way it's going to be, because his pleasure is always done. Whether you want to do it or not, it's going to be done. But I want him to do it. That's why I'm a true C. I'm truly see, because all I want is blessing. I don't want any burdens, and I want only blessings. How many here are with me on that? You know, just totally give me all the blessings. I don't want any burdens. I want all the blessings. Jesus, you're a bee. Jesus will be a good bee, better than Caesar. Jesus, you take all the burdens, give me all the blessings. And when my wife gets burdened down, God tells me, Jim, you be the bee. Let her be the sea. There it is, simple as pie. And when the kids are burdened down, C's, well, then the parents have to be the B's. See, it's so simple. But it's so easy to be a B when you have an A over you. Because an A will supply all your needs. So B doesn't have to steal from C to get a blessing from A, because God supplies all your needs. And Jesus never had a need that God didn't meet. Was Jesus ever nervous or worried? Did you ever see him running and scared? Did you ever see him hiding and worried? No, not at all. He was cool. He was calm. He was collected. You know why? Because he had a God. And even when they killed him, he didn't even worry about it. He just said, nah, you know, not my will, but thine be done. My will would be to have a picnic tonight or, you know, have a nice little celebration. But God's will is that I get killed and crucified. I'll take God. Oh, I tell you, there's a good bee. There's a bee that doesn't have a life of his own. Totally trusts his life to God. If you lose your life, you find it. But if you find your life and try to keep it, you lose it. So there it is. So Caesar obviously was trying to keep his life, and that's why he lost his life. Caesar's dead, but Jesus is alive. Because his eternal kingdom is great. It's mighty. It's powerful. Now, here's the thing. In your life, you don't have to worry about anything. Everything's going your way. Now, all God wants from you is thanks, not gripe, not care, not worry, not you know, picking up a burden. Okay, I'll think this thing through. What for? Why would you think anything through? You're not even able to think. Only God can think. Here's what it says. Here's the question. Why do the heathen rage? That's a question. Why? In other words, to what purpose do they rage? Why does Caesar rage? Why does he get angry and mad? I want more money. Why do the rulers of this world rage? And why do the peoples imagine a vain thing? Why are the people imagining that A isn't A and that he's gone asleep or gone on a trip? No, God's in the heavens. How many know the Most High God still rules? I'm not afraid of the big bad wolf. Hello? Now, I'm going to tell you, there is a big bad wolf out there, but what can he do when there's an A in place? And A has an eye on me. My mom's favorite song was, "His eye is on the sparrow." You know, that was her favorite song because she thought of herself as a little sparrow and nobody else thought about her or cared about her. Didn't even care if she had hair on her head or anything. But God counted the hair on her head, numbered everything, and God cared for the sparrow. My mom made that kind of the theme of her life. And she'd sing that. I mean, if anyone was ever here when my mom first came, she'd just stand up and sing it. His eye, you know, she'd just start singing, no choir, no nothing. She'd just sing without music. Because my mom thought of herself as that. She didn't care. My mom used to be a recluse, meaning she never came out in public. When we were little kids, my mom was always, you know, a recluse. She was always agoraphobic. You know, and so she couldn't function with people. And even though you might see her in a public place, she was completely bottled up, completely, you know, into herself. She couldn't relate to people. She always knew everybody hated her, which I'm sure they did. You know, and she had 6 major diseases, and she was always griping and complaining. If you ever asked her a question, she'd go on and on and on and on and on and on, because she didn't want to ever stop talking, because then she'd have to worry. She took pills after pills after pills. And, you know, my mom was pathetic. It was awful, awful, awful to live with her. But I loved it because I didn't pay attention to her. I didn't even think about it. Didn't even think about all of her problems and worries. You know, because after you hear about a billion of those, you get, you know, get to realize, well, not a lot you can do. Besides, I was just a little kid. And so my mom didn't bother me at all. I didn't mind my mom. Just didn't pay attention to her. But God, he had his eye on that sparrow. Isn't that neat? And one day my mom said, well, I'm not even a Christian. I said, of course you are, Mom. You went to church. Remember, we went to the Lutheran church. That didn't mean anything to me. Well, what do you mean? It didn't mean anything to me. I just went. Well, I know, but you know the gospel, don't you? I never heard it. Of course you did. Preached it every Sunday. Well, I never heard it. And so I gave it to her in about 3 minutes. Well, Mom, the gospel is just Jesus and so on and so forth. And she said, well, I never heard that. I said, you're kidding. Well, would you like it? Yeah. Can I get it now? Yes, you can have it right now. And she became a Christian just like that. Isn't that amazing? All the diseases went away. All of a sudden, my mom, instead of being agoraphobic, became the most radiant, most powerful. I mean, you could not stop my mom from blessing you. From everyone she met, she gave them a blessing. She made little scrubbies for you, and she's just always doing for everybody. And my mom, she became then the nursery worker for all the little bitty kids that she just loved and took care of, and she just became a different person. No longer sick. My dad was so amazed at my mom's joy and the fact that she could just dance at all times and sing praises and so on, that he became a Christian. You see, God knows how to take care of you. When you're a C, you don't have to worry about B. Why do the nations? What's the point of the nations thinking they're not trustees for C under A? Why do they conspire? Why do they imagine a vain thing? You see, everything is going our way. Zip-a-dee-doo-da. It's a kind of a folksy way of saying everything's going my way. After all, God for me. If God be for me, who can be against me? There isn't anybody. There's nobody on against me. I mean, he can be against me if you want, but it won't work. Because I got A on my side. If God, A, is for me, who, B, could be against me? You see, there's nobody. There's no way to stop God from blessing me. Somebody say, well, maybe B will get you when God isn't looking. He's always looking. His eye's on the sparrow. Well, he might glance away for a second. He won't glance away for a second. He loves me. A parent that loves a little child's always watching him, holding him, got him always in his hand. See, there's no way that B can get at me. And even though B is getting at me today, I can see that. I can see plainly that B's getting at me. He's trying to, you know, take all my stuff away from me, but I just turn to A and praise him. I don't turn to A and complain about B. Why would I worry about B? B can't do anything anyway. I don't care about conspiracies and UN things and, you know, bankers, whatever. I don't care about a Jewish conspiracy. I don't care about any of that stuff. You know why? Because I got a God. And my God is greater than every Mason thing or any, you know, any human secret society, skull and bone thing. I don't care about all that stuff. It doesn't interest me at all. I just laugh at those things. Go for it. See what you can do. Gang up. Gather together. Listen to the Bible. Listen to the Bible. Listen to the Bible. Why do the heathen rage? Why do the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together, little groups, little Masonic orders here, against the Lord and against his anointed. The Lord and then his little Jesus, that little baby up there. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords far from us. That's what the rulers of this world say. Let's not have the Ten Commandments binding us. Let's not have God's rules over us. See, they don't like being under God's rule of being a trustee. Let's break those bands asunder. We don't like the Ten Commandments anymore. Let's not have the Ten Commandments on the church wall. Let's not have it on the school wall. Let's not have it on the court wall. Well, where are you going to have it? So they're going to try to break those bands asunder. They hate Moses and his laws because the world's still under Moses and his laws. Now, none of us are. We didn't get in through the law. We got in through grace. We got in through grace. We came in an easier way where we got all the blessing and God got all the burden. I love that way. I love that way. I don't have to worry about a thing. I don't have to worry if my wife is emasculating me or, you know, I don't care what she does and thinks. I just totally ignore anything that she does that doesn't line up with God. I just ignore it. And if she does it, I'd say, that's okay, Peg, I forgive you. It's nothing to me because you can't ever thwart God. You're not going to gainsay God. You're never going to defeat God's love to me. Who can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Is there height or depth or anything in all creation? Are there angels or principalities? Is there anything that can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus? I don't think so. You have that thought, Al? That God can get me a blessing at any time. And his thoughts toward me are always thoughts of peace. Huh. Ooh, boy, that just makes me, well, Merry Christmas. Well, Merry Christmas. I mean, that just makes me feel so good that I have a God that has all the wisdom, all the power, all the strength, all the knowledge, all the capacity in the whole world to bring and project his majesty to me at any time. Jim, you're my boy. I can just talk to him. God, I'm not under any performance thing. I'm in a relationship with the living God. I'm one of your sons. I'm one of your sons. Son Jesus, Jim. Son Jim. And you don't even love Jesus more than me. You love me just as much as Jesus. In fact, we're getting married. I'm getting married. You know, I just feel like I just got everything going my way. Does anybody else feel like that? That everything's going your way? Y'all feel like that? I don't care if you feel like it or not. That's the way it is. That's just the way it is. I don't care what you feel like. That's the way it is. That's the way God said it, and I believe it. You see, I believe it. And when God sees somebody believes it, that turns him on. He is so excited. I got one. I got another one. You know, and he gets them where they don't believe they have to lift a burden. You see, in the temple of God, you're not allowed to sweat. In God's house, there's nothing but praise in there, and there's no sweat. So you take off your fancy robes and all that, and you just go in with light linen floaty type garments where there's no weight upon you, so you can spend all your time just thanking Jesus and enjoying yourself. This is a great house. It's a better house than the one you have, you know, under the United States Constitution now. The Constitution, there's nothing wrong with it. But the people who manage that thing and try to interpret it and tell us what it means and how to apply it, they make it heavy. There's no income tax in the Constitution. So where'd that come from? Civil law. Where did the civil law come from? We're under common law, I thought. Well, it just sneaks right in there from the people that, you know, put it in there. You think the judges don't know about it? Of course they know about it. They know about everything. I'm telling you, there's no like, oh, maybe they didn't know. Oh, maybe they didn't know. Well, of course they know. They just hate the idea that man should get off scot-free. They just hate it. They just hate it. I love it. Don't worry about me. I'm fine. Don't take a burden. You see, everything goes my way. Yee-hoo! I can even be sick if I want. I don't care. I'm never worried about anything. Why? Because God's for me. If God be for me, who can be against me? Oh, you're sick. Well, so what? It doesn't even scare me. Nothing scares me. Nothing. You know why? I'm free. I'm like Mary and Joseph and that baby. And big cantata. See, I like the way that God's kingdom announced its good news. They had a little cantata out there on the hillside. Whereas Caesar, I'm sure he had, you know, troops of IRS agents, you know, taking his dogma out. Everybody gather together, you have to pay your tax. You know, render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Well, I'll tell you what, that's not how God did it. God didn't do his because his was good news, theirs was bad news. His was darkness, ours was light. You see? So when God had a little thing, when he was announcing his birth of his son, he said, everybody's free. Peace on earth. Peace on earth. And now, wait a minute. What happened to that peace on earth thing? Looks like bees still causing wars. Troubles, worries, difficulty. I don't believe that. I believe that there's peace on earth. I have it. Now, I'll grant it's on the inside. But I believe if you get peace on the inside, pretty soon you'll have peace on the outside. I'm not having any problem. I'm not even mad at B. Barbara, I don't even care about B. I don't waste any time thinking about the IRS, how wicked they are, and how, you know, you can't even audit them because they're so crooked and stole billions and trillions of dollars. I don't even care about that. It's just a piece of paper anyway. I don't even care. Because my God shall supply all my needs. I figure he's got a little bit more than they've got. You know, the treasury ain't broke. The heavenly treasury is, it just goes on and on. Al, we don't have any problem. We don't have to worry. That's why he said, be not anxious. I don't think he meant, be not anxious unless something goes wrong. I think he meant, be not anxious about spiritual things, mental things, material things, you know, all kinds of emotional things. It just don't be anxious. The mind that is set on thee hath perfect peace. That's me. Have you got that? I got my mind set on him. I don't have my mind on B. I don't care if B does their job or not. I don't care if they mess up their job. That's God's business to take care of them. It's not the beneficiary's job to take care of the trustee. The beneficiary has no control over the trustee. Did you know that? The law of the trust does, but the beneficiary, all he can do is say, help, you know. But he can't really do much. So I always appeal to God, the author. I don't appeal to the trustee because the trustee is not trustworthy. But I'm not worried about that. I'll tell the guy that wrote the thing in the first place and guaranteed the whole thing. God, you see this trust thing you started? It's not working too hot. Get going. Get this thing going because somebody's saying your thing's going to fall down flat. You're going to be defeated and I'm going to be destroyed. I think those two things are wrong. I don't want you defeated and I don't want, because after all, you're for me. You're for me. If God's for me, if that law of the trust was for me, if all the provision in the trust was for me, if the officers that he appointed were for me, then I can see where the problem lies. It's not in the law of the trust, it's not in the provision of the trust, it's in the officers of the trust. They've breached. And they're unjustly enriching themselves at my expense. But I don't care. I'm going to tell the author. I'm not going to tell the trustee. Because the trustee's the one that's done it. But you know what? That just tells me something. Hey, God, is there some reason why you don't have your eye on me anymore? Did I cease to be your grandson? Remember the little Lord Fauntleroy thing? Remember that little story? And the kid asked him at one point, he said, am I still going to be, even though I lose the inheritance to somebody else, am I still going to be your grandson? Remember he asked that? In other words, I don't care about the money. I don't care about the titles. All I want is, I love you, Grandpa. I'll tell you what, that's why he ended up with all the dough. Because he took, you see, if you get Christ Jesus, you freely get everything else anyway. If you go for the dough, you lose everything. You lose the dough and the relationship. But if you go for the relationship, with the relationship, you get everything that the relationship has. You get it all. So I only have one thing to seek, the kingdom of God. I've sought that. Now here's what he says to the kings of the earth who are all the bees. Now they're bad bees, but so what? Why worry about them? I'm only telling you this sermon so you don't worry. I want you to have a Merry Christmas. How can you have a Merry Christmas if you're worried? How could you worship God if you've got to worry? Did you know that when you're worried, you can't worship? You're either going to worry or worship. It's either or. If you're a worshiper, you're not a worrier. And if you're a worrier, you can't be a worshiper. That's all there's to it. Anybody that's weighed down, burdened down, can't worship. Hallelujah, Jesus. You can't because you're beat down. You see, you're weighed down. But when you're free, I'll tell you, hallelujah. Y'all see that? Woo! See, you can just do that because you're free. You're not performing, so you don't care what you look like or sound like. Remember King David, he was dancing before the Lord, and his dress flew up in the air, and his wife looked down, oh, that's my husband. It stinks. And because she criticized him like that, she was barren. You can't be fruitful unless you're a worshiper. I'll tell you, all work comes out of worship. Otherwise, it's all vain. Everything that I say and everything that I do and everything that I am and everything comes strictly out of thank you, Jesus. Praise to the Lord. Hallelujah. Adoration to Jesus. Oh, what a way to go through life. What a way to go through life. I like the Christmas season because the little kids are all happy at that time because they're getting a lot of presents and stuff. What's wrong with that? Why shouldn't they get a lot of presents? Why do they have to be good and, you know, be worthy and so on? Why can't they just be, because you're my granddaughter, you're my grandson, you're, you know, my child's friend, you know, whatever. And the little kids today were all over the house because we had the open house today. We still have it. It's going on now. And, you know, they come up to the car window as I'm driving away and they said, Pastor Jim, you're so cute. It's because they're just little kids, you know. And what they mean is they like me. Why? Because I obviously like them, and they feel good around me, and they like coming to the house and give them cookies and all that stuff and, you know, whatever. That's what they like. Kids love to play, and they love someone that says it's okay to play. You don't have to be burdened down by the rotten world that's out there. Hello? Are you following me? Don't worry about everything. Everything's going your way. You know, little Ben, he's only four. He doesn't care about the economy. Ben, do you realize? I try to tell him because my grandson. Ben, do you realize the economy's going to pot? It's really, Grandpa, can I go and play right now? Ben, I'm trying to tell you something important here. The whole economy has gone, it's just awful. America's losing a reputation. You know, Ben looks like I'm talking some foreign language. I'm trying to tell him to sober up and so on. All he wants to do is play. Grandpa, can we play now? That's all he wants to talk about. Play. You see how little kids are? They just want everything to be play. They just want to have a relationship with their grandpa and their grandma. They just love it. They just love coming, and they don't do any work. They don't make their bed. They don't do anything. We do it all. We just spoil them. What's wrong with that? Why is that wrong? Why is it wrong to be blessed? You see, as you mature, that is, as you get so many blessings that after a while you go, hey, you know what? I got so many blessings. Could I give to this person that has none? Then you become a trustee. That's later. At first, you just got to take the blessings until you get so full of parties that you don't need any more parties because, you know, I mean, I got so much now, I don't need any more. If somebody gave me something, I wouldn't take it because I don't want it. I don't need anything. What can you give me? Do you hear what I'm saying? I got too much. So I'm trying to give it to my kids and my grandkids and the church members and whoever else I can give it to because I don't have any point. About 50-ish or something, I stopped thinking about, you know, me. Took me about 50 years to catch a hold of it. But after a while, I started to think about it, you know. I mean, I have mucked up my life so bad, you know, and everything I was worried. And now I just stopped worrying. I said, well, you know, praise the Lord, Jesus, just take care of me. And I just received so much. And then after a point, I was like, golly, I got a lot. And I started giving it away. I still got more. I could lose a ton of money and everything else. It'd be nothing to me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Why? Not because I care. I don't even care about it. I don't even count it. I don't even know what I have. I don't care. Funny. Isn't that funny to live in materialistic America and not worry about all that stuff? But, you know, I enjoy blessing people. It's a joy to me, giving away stuff, so on and so forth. You know, I don't know what I've given away. I don't even count. It says in the Bible, don't, so I don't. I don't count. Even the church. The church does give away things, but I don't count. And I've told the treasurer, never tell me who gave and who got. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I don't want to know anybody who's, you know, because I might favor them then or something. I don't want to know. So I have no clue. I have no clue who gives what or who gets what. I don't know, and I don't care. All I know is God gave everything. I know God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. You see why C doesn't worry me at all. God separated C out. God said, this is my C. You see, Caesar isn't over Mary and Joseph. God is. I want you to understand this. Caesar said, Mary and Joseph are part of my kingdom, my realm. Tax them. And Joseph submitted to that tax. So it looks like they're in trouble because they have to take a burden that he fixes on them, make a, you know, apographe, it means register. They had to write their name down and they had to inscribe it on a piece of paper. And maybe they had a scribe there to do it if you couldn't write. I don't know. I don't know if all the people could write or not. But whatever it was, somebody had to write your name down and say who you were and what town you came from and all this stuff. And Mary, too. So there she is, 9 months pregnant, and here she has to go to this tax thing. And you can't travel in your ninth month. You're not supposed to. Seven, that's about it. No eight, no nine, no, just stay it right close to home. Here she is traveling in her ninth month. And she's just about to be delivered. But you know, tax time is tax time. They don't ask if you're having a baby or not. Just don't care. Caesar's not caring. I think God would care. But God allows it. You see, God allows that. Caesar thought he was going to, you know, take one of his little slaves, his servants, his, you know, creatures, and make them pay. But God overruled. And he used that to get them to Bethlehem. Ha! Look at what Caesar meant for evil, God turned it to good. So everything that the enemy does to hurt you, God actually overrules it when you're not looking. And Caesar had no clue that Bethlehem was an important place. He didn't even know that was the center of God's spiritual work. That was where God's son would be born. He didn't even know it. It was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and Caesar didn't have a clue that that was an important place. Isn't that amazing? How can God take every item of your life, which no one's even paying attention to? You're so insignificant. You're not even significant. Nobody even cares about your life. But God does. God knows every hair on your head. God's got every day, every second, every minute. He's got it all calculated out. Just blessing after blessing, just like little Ben. Every day, Ben, should we do some work maybe today? He just looked at me with a blank stare. And he's trying to figure out what I'm saying. I mean, you don't want to play again, do you? And he understands that, you see, but he doesn't know what the word work means. Ben, I was thinking, you know, like we clean up the toys and try to straighten the house out. What do you think? You can just tell he just has no comprehension of that. But if you say to him, Ben, how about playing trains? You want to? He's right away, he wants to play with trains. He's got one of these fancy train little things. And it only makes about a 2 feet little circle. But he loves it. He's got a little thing on it. And it goes backward and forward and toot toots and stuff like that. And he just thinks that's a great little thing. And he wants to do it all the time. You have to get right down on the ground with him and, you know, Grandpa Jim, stop your train. Why? You know, and he wants your train not to run to his train and all that. He's got it all worked out. Your train, load up, get some people on there. You got little people you stick in there and stuff and loading and unloading. And it's all in this little bitty thing. He lives for play. I think that's okay. See, that's part of the wondrous gift was given. You see that? Now here, why did the heathen rage? Why did the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth, they set themselves. You can just tell they're setting themselves. They're all set. We're going to tax the people. Just, go ahead, set yourself. God will just blow you down. I'm not worried about the big bad wolf. Are you? Are you scared of that thing under the bed? Don't worry about it. And the rulers, why do they take counsel together? That's the United Nations. Against the Lord. The only purpose of the United Nations is against the Lord. Tell me, in the United Nations Charter, where does it say under God? Does it ours? In ours, it says God and nature's God. You see that? We put ours under the common law. We put ours under God. We formed our nation according to the Declaration of Independence. You see, you can't read the Constitution except under the Declaration of Independence. But none of the judges do today. They just blow God off. And now they're making all kinds of alliances with Mexico and Canada and whatnot, trying to destroy our Texas, our nation. What? Let them do it. The whole problem is not the bad guys. The whole problem is the good guys. The problem is if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves, confess their sins. What are their sins? Committing adultery, that's not the sin he's after. Committing murder, that's not what he's after. It's idolatry. Forget the second part of the Ten Commandments. It's the first four. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Wow, you know what he's doing right there? It's not a burden. He's trying to bless you. Don't have any B's. Don't have any B's. Only have A. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, Barb. Don't have any other gods. Don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Use it. In the name of God Almighty, be healed. In the name of God Almighty, you know, just blessings. Don't take my name in vain. What he's saying is, make use of it. Get the advantage of it. See if God's for you. Who can be against you? Honor the Sabbath day. You know, honor it, meaning don't work. What are you working for? You're not going to get there by your own works. This is by faith. Woo! Y'all get this? This is too powerful. To me, it's simple. To me, it's so simple. There's no deep thinking here. It's totally simple. It's something I can live in my family, something I can live in my everyday life. Something totally I live and understand, and it's a joy. Every person I meet, I can tell them the good news. I can live the good news. I understand it. This is good. You see, problem in America today is the first part of the Ten Commandments. Namely, don't do anything. Let God be God. Come on, God, take over. That's what Christmas is all about. That's what it's all about. God hates it that you're working. He hates it that you're worrying. He hates it that you're not worshiping. He just wants worship. That's why you remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. What do you mean holy? Like this, you know, like, no, 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 not like that. Like, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Celebrate day after day after day after day. Can't do it if you're worrying. I'm not worrying. I'm not sweating. I'm not trying to be popular. I'm not trying to be liked. I'm not trying to be understood. I'm not trying to be loved. I'm not trying to get something from somebody. I don't want anything. I don't want anything. You're not going to give me anything. Now, God could give me something through you, but it'll be God. Now, I'm not thinking about it. I'm not worried about it. And God has. I'll tell you, he's blessed me beyond measure. But I thank God. I give God the glory. And I've given, you know, I've been used by God, but I don't even think about it. I don't want people to thank me. I even tell the kids, well, don't thank me. They don't thank me. That was God. Just thank God. Not Santa Claus. It's God. It's God. You know, so somebody says, Pastor Jim, you blessed me. Well, good, but I don't even know about it, so I don't want to know about it. If I did, well, praise the Lord, it's a mistake, it's an accident. I didn't plan it. I don't know anything about it. I was keeping my eye on Jesus. If that happened, it was just like a mistake. I must have not known what I was doing right there. Because the old Jim, they wouldn't have done that. That's a new wrinkle there. That's something. I don't know where that came from. Every once in a while, I'll be a good husband or something. It'll just be like a miracle. It is a miracle. That's because the Holy Spirit sent me to will and then to do. Well, that's the miracle. I believe that. Do you believe that sometimes God uses you like that? I mean, it's just completely unlike you. It's completely a new kind of you. And every once in a while, it just happens like that. And how many know that you're blessed sometimes by others? I mean, it's by God, but it's A through B sometimes. Sometimes God uses, you know, people to do that. Now, listen to this. Let's break their bands asunder. Can you? Never. Cast away their cords from us. Never. He that sits in the heavens, what? Shall laugh. He says, oh, they're trying to break the bands. You can see they're trying to break the bands that God has A over B. You can't break the bands. Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes. That means little cloths that are banded around him. He was banded. Do you think it mattered? Because it was God's bands. That was one of the signs. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling bands, little cloths that are swaddled or banded around him. So the guy's a little safe and secure. You know, just keep him warm and he's okay. The little baby wasn't worried about the temperature or whatever. He was fine. Mom had him right there. You ever notice that little babies that are just all bounded up like that? They're happy as can be because there's nothing they can do. They can't get out or wiggle or anything. They just got it right there. And mom's got a hold of them. See? So don't worry about the bands. You're not going to get rid of God's bands. God's got you banded. How many can feel there's bands around you? You can only go so far. You're reined in by God. But don't worry about it. It's all for your good. It's all for your good. It's all for your good. That's what those laws are. They're just for your good. They're just descriptions of God's love. That's all. Just descriptions of God's love for you. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall hold them in derision. So God is going like this. He's looking at the bad guys trying to oppress Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. Yeah. He holds them in derision. He derides them. What you going to do? You know, come on, Caesar. You're going to try to break the band I put around you? Don't forget, you're my trustee. And Caesar's, get the step. You know, he's going to try to do his own thing, but he can't. Because God's got him constitutionally bounded. You see that? He's limited. Jesus said, you couldn't do anything except my Father. You couldn't do anything. Hey, wait a minute, I could set you free. You can't do anything unless my Father. It's talking right to Caesar, saying, you're not above me. I'm above you. I'm not worried about you. You're just a bee. You're just a servant, and I'm a greater servant than you are. I'm here to serve you. In fact, I'm going to die for you, Caesar. You need help. Caesar thought he was going to use Jesus, and, you know, one man should die for the people instead of the whole people rioting and everything. Just kill this one guy, and everything will be fine. You get a promotion. Didn't work out that way.
You know, the best plans that man lays are worthless. Whatever you plan to do is not going to be good enough because God's already got a plan and there isn't any new plan. Your plan is never going to be better than God's and it won't prevail anyway. Why would you want to come up with a better plan than God has for you? How could you come for a better plan? I would just get in relationship with Jesus and let it go at that. All I'd do is, are you my grandpa? That's why that little girl was telling me, because it wasn't one of mine own children. I was cutie. What she was doing was she was trying to relate to me, and because I came out and played ball with them or something, you know. So what it is being giggly little 6-year-old girls, and they were just trying to relate to me somehow, and they just came up with something stupid to say, and that was the best thing she could think of, is you're cute. I'm 67 years old. I don't think I'm cute, but that's okay. Because what she meant was relationship. You see that? Little kids like to have older people that they respect and honor. It helps them. Rather than, you know, somebody cranky and, you know, unapproachable. I'm, you know, they threw the ball up on the roof. Couldn't get it down. So I came and had one of those tubes from wrapping paper tube thing, just throw out in the garbage. But I knew I could reach up on the roof and knock it down with that. And they giggled over that. You know, that he thought of that idea. And they wanted that tube. And I blew. And they wanted to blow in it. Little kids are fascinated over nothing. Just over nothing. They love nothing. And then Kirsten wanted it. Not a dad, dad, I need that. This tube? Yeah, that's going to be a fence post in the next play we have at church. So everybody's using a worthless tube. God's good. You see, everything is happy. I don't know. Can anyone else say what I'm going to say? I experience heaven on earth. I just do. I just do. I don't have a worry or a care in the world. If I drop dead tonight, it's happy. I lived a full and wondrous life. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't exactly under the law. I wasn't all that great. I was a flub up, a failure, no doubt. But under relationship, mercy, I'll tell you, God's really pleased with me. But under performance, well, I would get a bad grade there probably. Al, I don't know if I'd get a better grade than you or not. What do you think? I would get a better grade? Praise God. I hope you'll speak up for me when it comes my turn. I hope you'll mention that. Hey, God, you know, Pastor Jim, he was a better man than I was, you know. But you don't know me. You don't know me well. But, you know, here's the thing is I'm not going by that. I've already forgot. I don't want to even think about that. I'm not going to think about how I am under the law, under performance. Under performance, I may not shine so well. I have no idea what kind of rewards I'm going to get or whatever punishments or whatever. But I know this, that under relationship, I'm getting nothing but the best. I'm getting everything. I'm not missing out on anything because I don't believe the law was for me. I think it was for Jesus, and he already paid the price for me. And so I'm skipping that whole law thing. I mean, I know under the law that you're right. You got me. You got me. I mean, dead. I'm humbling myself under that one. Lord, I was not perfect at all. I was not. I was not. But that's because I have not yet been perfected to be a B trustee. I'm only learning to be a B trustee. I haven't even gotten perfected yet, but I'm getting there. I'm getting there. And, you know, by the time the trump blows, I'll be perfect. But that trump hasn't blown yet. You see, when the perfect comes, then the imperfect will pass away. The Lord's second coming, the next coming, that's when I'll look like what I am now. But the relationship is what's holding me, not the performance. This is good news. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. So he obviously God's not worried. I love this picture of God laughing. Did you know that God could laugh? God's a laugher. I tried to draw it this morning where God had a big smile on his face. Because I tell you, God's laughing. He's holding in derision those that think that they're going to get away with murder. They're going to kind of do their own thing. It's kind of like, what are you guys doing? It's kind of like Ben trying to take over or something. I asked Kirsten, you know, tonight at the table when we were eating, I said, you know, who's the boss in your house? Ben. Ben is the boss. But, you know, I hold that in derision. I mean, it's like a joke. Ben's not the boss. You're the boss. You guys are the boss. You just tell him what you want. I never let my kids do what they wanted. They did what I told them. And I whipped them if they didn't do it, too. I didn't put up with anything. That showed my love right there. You don't see that, but it's good. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Here's why. Because I've set my king on my holy hill, Mount Zion. Now, when did he do that? It's not like the devil. I don't even know where the devil's king is today, where the Antichrist is. I don't know his name and I don't know his place. But Jesus, thousands of years ago, way back in King David's time, God already set his king on Mount Zion. Said, here it's going to be. Remember, David is the one that got Mount Zion as the little place to put the throne. Here, put it right here. And he said, I've already got my king there. King Jesus was back there. He's been set. That's why Bethlehem is so important. Because Jesus was a shepherd before he's going to be a king. 7 miles away. He's a shepherd first. You got to be a shepherd before you're a king. Remember, King David was a shepherd first before he was king? You got to be a savior before you're going to be a lord. You got to come under before you go over. In order to rule, you got to be ruled. You got to get under God, A, so that you can be a B, so that you can bless C. Did you see that? You got to be a B under A for C. That's when you begin to get the idea of the kingdom. Who would be great among you must be your servant. So B is not over C, he's under C. Why? Because that's where God is. And God assigns B to bless C so that Ben and Jane get all the blessing. And all the church people get all the blessing. And Pastor Jim gets no blessing. That's the way I want it. I don't want the blessing. I want you to get all the blessing. I want you to get all the blessing. I don't know what other pastors are doing. I don't care what they're doing. I have a feeling that I might be unique or rare or something. But I don't want stuff. I don't want more money or more salary or more anything. I don't want it. I want you to get everything. Everything's for you. It's all for the children. And even though it's only a handful of people, I don't care. I don't care if it's a billion people or two people. In fact, there was only two when we first started, right, tonight? Yeah, that was good enough for me. I was pumped. I was pumped to preach anyway. I'll preach to two. I'll preach to one. I'll preach to none. In fact, all afternoon I was preaching just to myself back in the bedroom. I'm just preaching. I'm so excited. Then shall he speak to them in his wrath and vex them with his sore displeasure, because I've set my king upon my holy hill of Zion, and I will declare the decree. So here's a decree. A decree went out from Caesar. B. Here's another decree. What decree is this? It's not B. This is a decree from A, down on earth to his sees, whom he sees. He sees them. And he says, I'm going to give them a decree. The Lord hath said to me, thou art my son, this day I've begotten thee. Ah, that is what the angels were singing about. Glory to God in the highest, the most high God, number A. Glory to him, not to Caesar. Glory to him. Caesar is God's Caesar. The IRS is God's IRS. And I tell you what, it doesn't have any foundation with God. God isn't even interested in the IRS. You're only getting that because you didn't turn to God. If you turn to God, then get rid of the IRS. The minute you turn to God, you get rid of the IRS. Don't get rid of the IRS. Then you turn to God. Just go to God right now. God, we've sinned. Get rid of that thing. Thank you. And the sin is not that you did something wrong. The sin is that you didn't enjoy yourself. You didn't praise him. You didn't thank him. You didn't enjoy yourself. So you let that burden come on you because you felt you needed a little spanking, a little, you know, well, I guess we have to do it. I guess we're supposed to do it, and so on and so forth. Well, you didn't even ask God. Well, check it out with God. See if God's into that. See if nature has income tax. See if nature has property tax. See if, you know, because you have a property tax, any tax is a destruction. Did you know that? Every tax that's put upon you is to destroy you. Because if you don't pay the tax, then you get destroyed. They just take your stuff and you don't pay it off, and they usually sell it for a nickel. And then you still got to pay them. Your house might be worth $100,000, but once they take your house, they'll sell it for $10,000, then you still owe the $90,000 or whatever the thing is. They don't want just the little, it's a trick, it's all a deal, it's not for your good. Nobody's caring about you. So you got to take care of yourself. Be under God. C, get under A, and God will appoint a B. You'll have true shepherds. The minute you get, I'll tell you, you know why, I think I'm a pretty good shepherd. But you know why I'm a good shepherd? It's not because I'm any good. I'll tell you why I'm a good shepherd. Somebody prayed. Somebody prayed and said, God, send us a true shepherd. That's the only reason. That's the only reason. A heard a C crying out. We need a true teacher. I was the least qualified of all the people on the face of the earth. I'm the worst candidate, the worst character ever. I mean, I'm not even close to David. David's much more faithful and pure than I am. I'm a scoundrel compared to David. I'm not worthy at all. But God can break the hardest character. If he hears a C praying, he'll break a B. He'll break a B. He'll just break him. Bang! You see what I'm saying? You're going to get exactly what you expect. You're going to get what you expect. You pray to God. God, give us something better here. I want a better husband. I want a better, you know, better deal. I'd like to have the best deal. I'd like to have heaven on earth. Oh, God will hear that, correct? He'll just say, well, that's what I wanted for you. It's my pleasure to give you the kingdom. Well, could we wait until later and just have a hell of a life here? No, that's not God. He wants you to start right now. Have a little fun now, a little joy now, a little Christmas now. That's why he introduced that idea. You all see that? Let's have praise and worship go up now. Woo! I will declare the decree. This is God. I'll set my king on the hill. I will declare the decree. This does not go out from Rome. This goes out from Bethlehem. The Lord hath said to me, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. Remember the angel said that? Today, in this day, in the city of David, there is a Savior born to you, Christ the Lord, the King. Ask of me, and I'll give you the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. What's going to happen to the kingdoms of this world? Jesus is going to come back, and with the rod in his hand, which is the rod in his mouth, he's going to just speak to them, boom, all the kingdoms of this world shatter, crash, are broken like potter would break vessels, smash, and they're broken down. All that glory of the IRS and, you know, of America and the Federal Reserve System and all that stuff, that oppressive stuff, UN, all that, knock it down. How many know that it's not going to come until we're ready? If we're a worshiping people, he'd have it for us. I expect a worship in these last days such as the world has never seen. We haven't seen it yet. We've heard, we've had little, you know, inklings of it or whatever. But you haven't really seen worship yet. You know why? Because people are still worried. They're still troubled. They still haven't heard the good news. They still haven't had Christmas. They've never celebrated Christmas. Never. They've never celebrated the joy that comes from knowing that you don't have to be anything. You just have to be in relationship to one who does everything. Just be related to the one that is your parent. Kids don't worry. They don't think. They don't do anything because they got parents. Well, let God provide parents for you. Let God be your parent. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings of the earth. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. You see that? Government's a trust. It's a public trust. It's a gift of God. B was never intended to oppress you. And you hold the key, not God, not Caesar. You hold the key. Worship Jesus. Kiss the Son. You see how I put on the one side over here, people coming and worshiping Jesus? That's the key right there. There's no burden. If you're worshiping, you're unburdened. Because Jesus is going to take all your burdens. So there is no burden. I love this story. This is, to me, the greatest story. It's the greatest story. This is just how he came into the world, let alone how he lived, and then how he died, and then how he resurrected, and now how he reigns on earth, and how he's coming back again, this time as a mighty king with power and glory and majesty and armies and hosts. And he'll break them with the rod of his mouth, and they'll just be shattered in a moment. Well, God wants you to enjoy yourself today. Let's not wait for that day. Let's anticipate it. Let's begin to praise him right now. Let's begin to worship God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Praise and glory and adoration to you, Lord Jesus. We love you. We thank you. We adore you. We worship you. Hallelujah. Glory. 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 Woo! Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart, prepare him room. Let heaven and nature sing. Amen. Amen. Woo! Praise God. Hope you're blessed tonight. I sure was. I enjoyed it very much. I was edified.